The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Yisro. In Parshas Yisro we have the Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. In the third month after the going out of Egypt, Klal Yisrael, Israel came to Har Sinai, Mount Sinai, and there the Almighty revealed himself to them and gave them the Torah. And this is probably the highest point of the Sefer Torah and the highest point of history. Now, in the giving of the Torah, we find written the Ten Commandments. And we can ask a question. If the entire Torah was given to Israel at the time of Har Sinai, which was the sixth day of Sivan, so then why are only the Ten Commandments written here? And what are the significance of these Ten Commandments? And secondly, we're all very aware that when Moshe came down from Har Sinai, so he brought with him Shnei Luchei Sabris, the two tablets. The first time when he came down, he came across the golden calf, the episode of the golden calf, and he broke the tablets. And then he was to go back up to Har Sinai and again write the second tablets. On these tablets are written merely the Ten Commandments. Now the Ten Commandments are 10 mitzvahs of the Torah. The Torah has 613 mitzvahs. So why do we find that some of the commandments of the Torah are taken out of the Torah and put on the Luchei Sabris, on the tablets? This would seem like it's not a complete Torah. What is the significance of these Ten Commandments? The Chazal tell us, and the rabbis teach us, amongst them is Rav Sadia Gaon, that when Israel came to the mountain and stood there on the 6th of Sivan, which is the day we celebrate Shavuos, they heard actually the entire Torah, all of the mitzvahs. Because all of the mitzvahs are implicated in the Ten Commandments. They heard explicitly the Ten Commandments, but the Ten Commandments are the foundations and the beginnings of all of the mitzvahs. So by hearing the Ten Commandments explicitly, then they heard all of the other commandments not so explicitly. And this was on the day of the giving of the Torah. And then the Torah relates that Moshe went back up on the mountain for 40 days, and at that time Hashem taught Moshe the entire Torah, and when he was to come down later, he was to teach Israel the entire Torah. So we see that the Ten Commandments are the foundations, are the reishis, the beginnings, the sources of all of the mitzvahs, of all of the 613 mitzvahs. Now the Mechilta tells us in this parsha, "Vaydaber Hash Elakim es kol advarim ha'ela lemor," that Hashem spoke all of these things, saying, and this is the pasuk, this is the sentence which precedes the Ten Commandments. The Mechilta says, "Kol advarim bedibur echad nemru, mashiach shelavosav adam lemer, kach shenemer vaydabe elakim." The entire Ten Commandments was given in one dibur, in one statement. When Hashem said the Ten Commandments, He said one statement, and this encompassed all of the Ten Commandments, as it states, "And Hashem said all of these words." He said them all together. This is something which is impossible for a human being to do. If that's the case, we can ask a question that in the Sefer Torah, when we write it, we must write the Ten Commandments in their proper order. If we change the order, we are changing the order of the Sefer Torah, and it wouldn't be a kosher Sefer Torah. So we see they were given in a special order. There's the first command and the second command. If Hashem gave all of the commandments together in one statement, so it's not possible to say an order on it. So on that, the Mechilta answers The Chozar Upirshon Dibor V'Dibor Bifnei Atzmo. After the entire Ten Commandments were given in one statement, then the Almighty started over again to give them one by one. And when he gave them one by one, they were in the order that we have. And then the Mechilta continues that this was only by the Ten Commandments, not by the other mitzvahs of the Torah. The Gemara at the end of Masechet Makos tells us something more. It states that the commandments were heard from Moshe, because Klal Yisrael became afraid. And they said, "You tell us, you teach us. We're afraid. We're afraid to hear from the Almighty." Only the first two were Mipi HaGvura. The first two commandments of Anechi Hashem Elokecho, I am the Lord your God, and Lo Yeh Elocho Elohim Acherim, you shall not have gods of others. These were heard from the Almighty when he went and said them over again. And the others he told to Moshe, and Moshe taught the people. So this is how the commandments were given. Now what does this come to tell us? Firstly, we see that all of the mitzvahs are dependent in the Ten Commandments. So these are the sources of the entire Torah, of the 613. And now we see that these 10 were given over in one statement, initially. Then the Almighty reviewed each one by one, in order that we could hear them one at a time. But when he gave them, they were given over in one statement. What does this mean? This is to teach us that Torah is echod, it's one. It's not many mitzvahs. They are not independent mitzvahs. They are not unrelated, but it's one. And the Ten Commandments encompasses all of the Torah, and the Ten Commandments themselves are one. They are not 10 things, but one thing. And therefore they were given over in one statement. And this, they have to be like this, because they came from one person, one entity. They came Mireya Echod, the Gemara says. They came from the Almighty, and He is one. And therefore Torah is a perfection, not of isolated theories or philosophies or commands, but is one. When we delve into it, so then we subdivide it. But in essence, it is one. And we'll go into this a little further. The Medrash, there's a Medrash which is called Asius de Rabbi Kiva. It was written by Rabbi Kiva. And it's called the Letters of Rabbi Kiva, because there they expound all of the letters of the Aleph Beis, of the alphabet. And the Medrash states as follows: Eilu Chof Beis Asius Shebahen Nitno Kol HaTorah Kulam. The Torah was given with 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. And all of these 22 letters are written in fire in the great crown, in the fearful crown of the Almighty. And at the time when the Almighty wanted to create the world, when the Almighty was coming to create the world, all of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet came before him, and they knew that the world would be created with these letters, and each one stepped forward to put forth his claim that the world should be created with him. Bitchila nichnas tof. The last letter came first. Why the last letter first? One reason is because every letter has a numerical value. The Aleph is a 1 and the Beis is a 2. And the Yud is a test, and the Chof is a 20. So Tov has the greatest numerical value. It's 400. So he stepped forward. He felt he had the strongest case, and he said, "Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the Saint who should tiv Rebbi Olam should be atosi litein Torah in Israel." And then he gave another argument. The Tov is the first letter of the word Torah, and what's the most important part of the world? The Torah. So therefore, he said, "Perhaps you will create the world with me, because my letter is the first letter of the word Torah." And the Almighty rejected it. He said, "No, there'll be a time when I will put a tof on the forehead of certain individuals that are doomed for death. And therefore it's not a good letter." And Yotze Bepechi Nefesh, and he walked out downhearted. Then the Shin came, and then the Reish, and then the Kuf. One by one, each letter came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asked that let the world be created with him. And each one pleaded their case, and each one the Almighty rejected. It went all the way up to the Beis. The Beis came and said, "Create the world with me, because Shebi Aimrim Baruch Hashem Yom Yom." Every day we say Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, blessed is the Almighty every day. And the word Baruch, blessed, begins with Beis. So he said, "Create the world with me." Heishiv HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Habo B'Shem Hashem. The Almighty answered, "Blessed is you who comes in the name of Hashem." Miyad Kibel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Ha'ilam B'Beis. He accepted him, and he created the world with Beis. And that's why the first letter in the creation of the world is Breishis Bore Lakim, a Beis. Aleph Kivin Shirosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivel Divro Olam BeBeis. The Aleph, he saw that Beis was accepted, and he never even had his chance to state his case. Omad Leil Tzar Echod, he moved to the side, the Shosak, and he kept quiet. Until the Almighty called him and he said, "Why are you silent? You say nothing." He says, "Because I have nothing to say." Because every letter has a great numerical value. And I have the smallest numerical value. Even the Beis is 2, the Gimel is 3, the Yud is 10. I have no numerical value whatsoever. Aleph is 1. So what can I say? Heishiv HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Almighty answered him, "V'amalei al tishyore, do not fear. Sha'ata reish lechulam kemelech. You are the leader and the head of all of that is. Like a king. Ato echod v'ani echod. A king also is only one. You can have a nation with great multitudes, millions or billions of people, but the king is only one. You are a king to everyone, and you are like me, because I am also a king. And you are one v'ani echod, and I am one. V'hatorah achas. And there's only one Torah. There's only one law which I will give to the world. And therefore, shani osi litein Torah bechol ami Yisrael. And I'm going to give this Torah to my nation, one nation. And therefore, I will give Torah with you." And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to give the Torah, to reveal himself as Sinai, he revealed himself with the letter Aleph, Anochi. The first letter they heard was the Aleph of the Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God. And then the Gemara tells us, the Medrash, why the Beis? Why did he create the world with a Beis? Shulash and Brocha. Because Beis is the word Brocha, like it states, Baruch Hashem. Why did he, and he did not give, create the world with an Aleph? Now this is something which is a little strange, because Aleph is the word Oror, comes from Aleph. Oror means to curse. So brocha comes from the letter beis, and order to curse comes from the word aleph. Therefore, in the creation of the world, he used the beis. But in the giving of the Torah, he used the aleph. Now, what is the explanation of this? So the Maral has an elaboration on this in the Sefer Tiferes Yisrael, in Perek Lamed Dalet, Lamed Hei, Lamed Vov. And he says as follows. The creation of the world was in essence brocha. What does brocha mean? Brocha means growth, expansion, multitude. And of course, Baruch Hu came to create the world. What did he want? He wanted that something should grow. Something should come and be. So the essence of creation is brocha. When you give a brocha to someone, you want something to grow, to expand. This is brocha. Beis denotes brocha. Not only because the letter brocha begins with beis, but there is a reason why the word brocha should begin with beis. Because beis is the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet that shows a growth of numbers. The aleph is one. After that, each number grows. Beis is the hascholos, the beginning of all growth. Beis is two. So the beginning of all growth is encompassed in the letter beis. And therefore the Hebrew word brocha starts with a beis. Therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the world that was from nothing, there should be something. He needed growth, he needed brocha. And the letter came along and said, on me it says, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, there's brocha, Hashem gives brocha every day. So he said, I will create the world with you. Therefore, the first letter he used in the creation of the world, and that's the first letter of the Sefer Torah, is a beis, Breishis Bara Elokim. Aleph is the word oror, to curse, comes from the word aleph. Why? Because curse is the antithesis of blessing. Curse means something where there is no growth. Heaven forbid someone is cursed, in whatever area it might be, there's no growth. And the letter in which there is no growth whatsoever is aleph. Therefore the word curse oror begins with an aleph, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want for the creation of the world. Alright, so this is very understandable. But then why did he use the aleph for the giving of the Torah? When you want something to develop and to grow, this is the manifestation of brocha. But when you want to look for the source of growth, the source of brocha, then you have to come to a single source. You can have a mighty river, and the heavier the water is, the more brocha the river has. But if you want to find the source of the river, you're going to have to keep looking and looking until you find its single source. And if it's not a single source, then you have not found its source. There's another source behind that. If you see a great tree, the greater the tree, the more brocha it's had. But if you want to find the source of the tree, then you're going to have to go all the way back to the smallest seed. When we look for brocha, so the more the better. And the beis denotes the beginning of all brocha. But when we look for a source, then the less the better.
Otherwise, we haven't found the source. The source of all bracha is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty. So the only letter that can describe Him is the Aleph. And that's why He told the Aleph, "Why are you silent?" So the Aleph said, "Because what can I say? I don't even have a numerical value." So the Almighty asked him, "You're like me. You're like me, or you're like a king. You are one and I am one. Not having a numerical value, this might be a shortcoming when we're speaking of brocha, of growth. But when we're looking for a source to that growth, the source of everything, then that's not a shortcoming. That's an advantage. And therefore, you denote the source. You denote oneness, a singleness. And therefore, when I come to reveal myself to my nation and give them my Torah, I must reveal myself with the Aleph. When I want to create a world that's the growth from the source, I'm going to use a base. But when I want to reveal the source of the world to my nation, which is the Torah, the Medrash says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, He looked in the Torah and He created the world from this, because the Torah was the master plan of the world. So the Torah and He are the source, then I must reveal myself with an Aleph. So He came to Har Sinai and He said, "Onochi Hashem Elokecha," the Aleph, and the Aleph denoted Onochi I. He referred to Himself I, and interesting, He did not give Himself any name when He first revealed Himself. He just said I, because had He given Himself a name usually describes an aspect, and you cannot limit the Almighty to an aspect. We do have names for the Almighty, but each one describes a different aspect and conduct of the Almighty. So it doesn't describe Him totally. If we want to describe Him totally, we cannot limit Him to a specific name. So He said, "Anochi I," which encompasses all of Him. And this is how He revealed Himself to Israel and revealed the Torah to Israel. So therefore, the Aleph He used for the giving of the Torah. Now here we see, again, this oneness. That all of the 613 mitzvahs are dependent on these 10. And of these 10, they are dependent, all 10, of these 10, they are dependent in the first two. And all 10 are together, because when He first said them, He said them in one statement. And all of the 10 actually come from the first one, from the Anochi, where He revealed Himself, and from the Aleph, which denoted there is one. There is only one. There is only one source to the entire world. So this is the reason of this oneness, and it was given all in one statement. Now these 10, each one is a major division of the Torah and coming to instruct the people with a major concept which will encompass the entire Torah. The first tablet, they are divided into two tablets. Five are on one tablet and five are on the other tablet. The first tablet deals with mitzvahs, with instructions and codes of conduct that man must have towards his Creator. And the second tablet deals with codes of conduct that man must have towards the other creations of his Creator, his fellow man. The first command is Anechi Hashem Elokecha. I am the Lord your God, Asher Otzei Sicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avodim, who has taken you out of Egypt from the house of slavery. I am the Lord your God. This is a command that, what does it mean? I, Anechi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God. This means that I am the only being that was always here. I was here first. There was nothing that came before me. And I was here before anything else. Just like the Aleph. Just like the Aleph is first. And there is nothing before the Aleph, and everything else comes later. Everything in the world, no matter what it is, in this great world of ours, all came after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty. Nothing existed when the Almighty existed. He was first. Anochi, I am the Lord your God. This is the first command. And we are not allowed to think otherwise. If we do think otherwise, this is referred to as being kafir bi'ikr, that we deny the very source of all. Ikr means the root. We deny the very root. So this is the first command. And someone who denies this command, so then he is denying the essence, the very essence of the Almighty. That he existed all of the time before anything else. That's the first command. Now we'll see that they all go in an order, in a perfect order, where they start with the greatest and each one then goes a little further down. The second one was Lo Yelecho Elohim Acherim. You shall not make for yourself other gods. This means that even if we believe that the Almighty was always here, and He existed and nothing else existed, but we might think that when it comes to running the world, there are other powers that also can run the world. He's delegated or allocated His powers to others also, and they also run the world. Other gods together. This is what is known as shituf. In other words, we will make partners with the Almighty. This we're not allowed to do. Lo yelecho elohim acherim. You are not allowed to make for yourself any other gods in addition to me. It's not referring to denying Him, but in addition, you are not allowed to make any other gods. If you do this, so this is also a denial in the essence of the Almighty. Not like the first one, where you deny His total essence, but this is a miut, this is a minimization of the essence of the Almighty. Because, for example, if you have a king that rules everything, and you have another king that rules together with a partner, so then they have to divide territories amongst them. So this is a minimization in His power. And the Almighty encompasses everything. Therefore, you are not allowed to make other gods who will have powers, also powers. No such thing exists. There were many idolatries that held like that. They believed in the Almighty. The Ramban many places writes that the idolaters also believed in the Almighty. But they believed that all of the other forces were gods. There was a god of fire, a god of rain, a god of the seas and so forth. That was Eloha, and the Almighty was Elokol del Elokol. Then there was a god of all gods. But this is idolatry, and this we're not allowed to do. There is no independent power besides the Almighty. He does not allocate independent powers to other forces. He has emissaries, people who are fulfilling His will. But it does not give independent powers to other forces where they can rule also. And if someone believes this, then he transgresses. Lo yelohoko elohim acherim. You shall not make for yourselves other gods al ponai in my presence. This is very important, because by Klal Yisrael, who we have such great respect for our leaders. Fact is, the Gemara says, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, that you shall fear the Lord your God. Es L'Rabbeis Talmidei Chachomim. What does it mean? Es means you shall fear the Almighty and someone else also. Who should you fear also? Talmidei Chachomim, the scholars of Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu encompassed it all in one statement. So you shall share the fear that you have for me with the scholars of Torah. So whoever gave such honor to the wise as the nation of Israel, yet to our greatest wise men, they were never in our eyes more than shluchei mokom, the servants of the Almighty. Not referring to the great of recent generations. We can go back to the prophets, to the Nevi'im. Every prophet only spoke as a spokesman for the Almighty. If a prophet would come and speak in his own name, that was known as a Novi Sheker, a false prophet. We can go to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the greatest leader of all leaders, Moshe. How is Moshe described? Eved Hashem, the servant of the Almighty. Even the king, Melech Yisrael, that is a king, but it states that he has to have a Sefer Torah with him all of the time. Everybody is obligated to own a Sefer Torah. He has to have a special Sefer Torah. Because even though he's a king, but he's still merely a servant to the Sefer Torah. He's merely a servant to the Almighty. And the greatest leaders, whoever they were, would come to the point where one day they would die. And this Chazal tell us, what is the day of death? What does that exclaim? What does it describe? That describes the person who bows to the Almighty. The person dies, he bows, he falls. Ki lecha tichra kol berech, that to Hashem every knee will bend, zeyem hamisa, that's when the person dies. That's to show, and we don't find exceptions. We don't find there are great leaders that don't die. That's to show that no matter how great the individual is, all of his powers are merely on behalf of the Almighty. They're his emissaries, his ambassadors, but not independent powers on their own, where they are a force, they can do something beyond the scope of the Almighty. Now this is very important, because this was very unique with Klal Yisrael. Because we see consistently in other nations, leaders became gods. Pare was a god to Egypt. Leaders exclaimed themselves with divine powers. Napoleon held he had divine powers. Hitler, Yemach Shemai, held he had divine powers, and people believed in him. This was all through the generations. And we have had Lahavdil, Elef Havdoles, leaders 1,000 times greater. And the greatest leader of all time, Moshe Rabbeinu, he described himself, Ever Hashem, I am but a servant to the Almighty. David HaMelech was described as an Ever Hashem, a servant to the Almighty. And this is very important in our generation. Because unfortunately in many, many areas, and in Eretz Yisrael in many areas, and there's great Rosh Hashivas who are very concerned about this, We live in a time of where there are great many cults, supernatural, and there are many places today, individuals who are claiming of supernatural powers, independent powers, and people are believing them, and they feel they have forces. If they are servants to the Torah and Almighty, then they'll have whatever force that the Torah gives a person. But to believe that there's something beyond this, and this is encompassed in what it states, Lo yelecho elohim acherim al ponai, that you shall not make in my presence, you shall not share my power with anyone else. So the second command is a step further. This is not denying the essence of the Almighty, but we want to minimize his essence and say that there's not one God, there's a few forces in the world. There are no other forces in the world. There's only one force in the world. And all other forces of the world are subject to him. Then comes the third command. Leisisa es shem Hashem elekech lashov. You shall not swear by Hashem's name in vain. Now this is a third level. Here the person is not denying the essence of the Almighty. He's not minimizing the essence of the Almighty. But what he is doing, he is bringing dishonor to the name of the Almighty. And a name is very important. The Gemara always says, Hashem Meir Ala Etzem. The name describes the essence. He's taking HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name and he swears falsely by it. He is rebelling and minimizing and bringing shame not to Hashem himself but to his name, which is very close to Hashem. The name is an honor. Shem Tov, the honor of a person, the dignity of a person is dependent on the honor of his name. And this is what he's doing. So this is the third command. Then there's a fourth command. Zohar Eshem HaShabbos L'Katshoi. That you shall remember the day of Shabbos and to sanctify it. 6 days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest. You shall not do any work. Because for 6 days the Kodesh Baruch Hu worked to create the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in it. And on the seventh day he rested. And therefore he blessed the seventh day. And he sanctified it. Now the Gemara tells us in Masechet Chulin that someone who blatantly denies Shabbos, he's not merely denying Shabbos. He's not merely denying a mitzvah of the Torah. He's denying his kefir b'maisa bereshis. He's not denying the essence of the Almighty. Doesn't say he's denying Hashem. He's kefir b'maisa bereshis. He's denying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and he gave us testimony to it, Shabbos. When a Jew keeps Shabbos, when a Jew distinguishes the seventh day from other days, the Gemara says this is Eidus, this is testimony. There are many, some have the custom that even though they sit for Kiddush, they will stand for the first part of Kiddush. Because the first part of Kiddush is when you recite over that Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day, and therefore we rest on the seventh day. And this is an Eidus, a testimony. And the law is that when one gives Eidus testimony, he must give it standing. So this is a testimony. When a Jew distinguishes Shabbos from every other day, he is testifying that HaKadosh, not that there is a God, he is testifying that God created this world. Es ha-shomayim, the heavens, es ha-oretz, the land, es ha-yom, the sea, es kol asher bom, and everything in it. Everything, without exception, was created by the Almighty. Everything. Actually, we gave a shir on Shabbos in regards to ecology, which is a big talk today. how man is destroying and has no respect for anything in the world. And that's because they are not cognizant that every part of the world was created by the Almighty. A Jew can't be cognizant that everything was created by the Almighty and then go destroy it. So this is a testimony. If a Jew denies Shabbos, you know, Shabbos is no different than any other day. Does not distinguish it. Then he's not denying the essence of Hashem, but he's denying the works of Hashem. He's denying the fruits of Hashem's labor, that the world did not come from him. So this is the next level. And this also is a minimization in Hashem, in his works, in his handiworks. It's like a king created something extremely beautiful, and you come and you steal it from him, and you say you attribute it to someone else, not him. So this is a denial also. So these are the four levels. Firstly, the denial of the essence of the Almighty, that he always existed. Then the denial, a minimization of him, that he encompasses everything. There's other forces also, you want to say. And then where you come, a further minimization where you insult his name. And then a minimization where you believe in him totally, but the world is not his. Where you minimize him to the point where the world is not his. You take it away from him. Then comes the fifth command. Kabed es avicha ves imecha. You shall honor your father and your mother. L'man yarichun yomecha la'adoma asher Hashem elokecha na'isen loch. In order that you will have length of days in this land which Hashem has given to you. Now here's something very deep. You shall honor your father and your mother. Why did Hashem command us to honor our father and mother? Right, one reason is because they brought us into the world and we must give them honor. But there's a deeper reason. If we would say, and there are those who believe this, that birth by human beings is merely biological, it's teva, it's nature. Merely nature. It's merely biological. And who is born to who and when and so forth is merely biological chance, scientific nature, coincidence. Then, the Maral claims that there would be no reason to honor your father and mother. Because you are merely a product of nature. You're merely a biological fact in the world that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. So why should you honor your father and mother? The fact is, we don't find amongst animals, we don't find this concept of honoring the mother and father. All right, it's true, they don't have the wisdom to do so. But even so, we don't find it. The mother has to take, generally the father has nothing to do with it amongst animals. And the mother has to care for them. But once they're on their own, finished. Because it's an act of nature. But this is not true with human beings. The Gemara tells us in the beginning, Masechet Tainis, Gimel Mafteches, there are three keys which HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not even give to an angel. Not even to an angel. He won't give them to any other force. Even his own emissaries he will not give to. One is the key to Geshem, to rain, that he takes care of himself. Rain and Panosa. The other is the key to the world to come. And the other is the key to birth. Key to birth, he takes care of himself. Birth is not merely a biological fact. Merely a natural phenomenon. No. But birth is the act of the Almighty. Oh, he and only he decides who should conceive, when they should conceive, what they should conceive. Who will be born and who will not be born? Who will be born to who and who will not be born to who? It is not at all a mere biological happening. So therefore, not only the world in general was created by the Almighty, like we learned from Shabbos, that He created the earth and the heavens and the sea and everything in it, but the world in particular, the Tolodesh, every time someone is born, there's a new creation. This is the greatest creation, the creation of man. The creation carries on at its highest every time someone is born. This means every time someone is born, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in particular has created that person. It's not that He created a nature, now nature carries its way. Nature carries on by its own momentum, which can be in other areas perhaps. But when it comes to human beings, every time, to honor the particular source that He comes from, since He's not just here because of an act of nature in general, but He's here because of a particular source which came only with intention and cause and purpose, then He has to honor that source that He came from. That's why the Torah commanded us, Kabed es avicha ves imecha, to honor our father and mother. So this is a further testimony. This testifies that not only did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world in general, like we learn from Shabbos, but He carries on creation after creation in particular. In all of the Tolodos, in all of the generations, the general generations and even the particular generations. And therefore we have a special bond to our father and mother, and therefore we must honor them. Because if it would just be a merely, we would be a product of the nature, there would be no purpose why we have this special bond, and we would have to honor them. So this is a further, this is going further, where if someone denies this, then he denies that the Almighty carries on His creations after the first creation. Now notice, this is the last of the first of the tablet. These are the first five, and this is the last of the tablet. And then we go on to the second five. Now we said that the first five deal with a conduct that man has towards his creator. The second five deal with a conduct that man has towards the other creations of the creator, his fellow man. This mitzvah of Kabeid es avicha ves imecha, honoring your father and mother, this mitzvah combines the two sections of the Torah. These two tablets represent two sections of the Torah. One, Bein Odom L'Mokom, and the other, Bein Odom L'Chaveri, to the Almighty and to man. This mitzvah combines the two, because in this mitzvah we find both. We find that through honoring your parents, you are giving honor to the Almighty, like we explained. And we find that you're obligated to give honor to human beings, to your parents. So this mitzvah encompasses both. And that's why the Gemara brings in Masechta Kiddushin. The Gemara says, and Aflamed Amud Beis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Bizman Shodem Mechabed Ovi Vimei Dei Mekile Dor HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bineihem Vekabdu Hu. Bizman Shein Odem Mechabed Ovi Vimei Ema HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yofi Sisi Shalei Dati Bineihem. When a man honors his mother and father, they are honoring me also, and I live amongst them. And when they do not give honor to their father and mother, then I do not live amongst them, because they are shaming me also. And Rav Yosef used to say, Katsoma kol karadime, the Asher, when he would hear the footsteps of his mother come in, he would say, Eku mekame de shchinta da Asher, let me stand up because the Shechina is approaching. one who honors his parents is honoring the Almighty, and one who disgraces his parents is disgracing the Almighty. Because Shleishi Shutvin Ba'odom, there are three partners in birth, and all three are partners. And that's why also it states, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Hukesh Kfeidi, Hukesh Kfeidom L'Kfeidi, that I equate their honor to my honor. He used the word kabed by himself, and he used it by ovibi, by a father and mother. So therefore, this is the fifth, the last of the first tablet, because this deals with man's conduct towards the Almighty, but at the same time also it starts to deal with man's conduct towards his fellow men. Now we come to the second tablet. Now the second tablet are instructions, the foundations of mitzvahs that have to do between man and his fellow man. Now why were we commanded with so many mitzvahs because of man and his fellow man? Generally we think it's because you have to act to other men like a mensch. See, you have to be civil. And it doesn't have to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is true, this is for sure true, but it's more than that. We have to recognize in other men that they are the handiworks of the Almighty. We have to recognize in other people that they are Tzelem Elokim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have created them in my image. And therefore we have to realize that if we do something wrong against another man, it's not merely that we are hurting another man, but we are rising up against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because man is an extension of his Creator. And only man. He did not give his image to other creations. He gave his image only to man himself. The greatest handiwork and the greatest gift that the Almighty gave is that he gave his image to man. And therefore, that's why the mitzvahs bein Adam l'chaveiro are so chamura. That's why we find that the mitzvahs between man and his fellow man are so severe. Because not only is he harming man, another person, but he is harming the Almighty, because the Almighty's image is in the other person. And therefore, the first mitzvah and the second tablet is le'tirzoch. You shall not kill. If you kill another person, heaven forbid, you have destroyed the Tzelem Elokim. You have destroyed the image of the Almighty. And that's what it says in the Parsha Beretzicha. In the chapter in the Torah which deals with Retzicha, with murder, the reason why the Torah takes such a hard stand against murder, and it states that someone who sheds blood, his blood shall be shed, because Ki Betzelem Elokim, because I have created man in my image, and he has destroyed my image. So here is speaking where there's total destruction. So it starts that we must not engage in total destruction of another man, because that's total destruction of his image. That's the first of the second tablet. Now this is a minimization which is further removed, because if you rise up against the Almighty himself, so that's a direct destruction of his image. And this is through rising up against your fellow man. Then the next mitzvah we have is Leitinov. Leitinov, you should not commit adultery. Now what does that have to do here? Actually, there's two questions we can ask. First of all, what does it have to do here? And secondly, we have many arayas in the Torah. There's old Pasha arayas which deals with forbidden unions. Many. There's a mother, a daughter, a sister, an aunt, and so forth and so on. Leistinov means explicitly taking another man's wife. Adultery. So why is this singled out and is placed here? So that the Maral explains something very deep. Unfortunately, modern generations are not cognizant. They don't want to be cognizant of it. The Torah says that a man is not complete until he marries a woman. And when he marries a woman, Then it says Nikra Odom. Then he is an Odom. Then he is a complete man. And it states in the Torah. It says that Zohar Unakeva Boram by Yikrosh Mom Odom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created male and female, and he called them Odom. That only when they are together as man and wife are they called Odom. Is that called a person? Then there is the total Selam Elohim. Murder deals with destroying man. Adultery deals also with destroying man. Because you are destroying man and his perfection. Man and his perfection is only man and his wife. And someone who commits adultery is coming between man and his wife. He takes the wife away from the man and he destroys the marriage. Adultery is an automatic destruction of the marriage. So he has cut man in half. So therefore this follows Leitirtzach. Leitirtzach is where you destroy man totally, and Leitinof and adultery is where you destroy man partially. You take away the total man. Then we come to the next command on the second tablet, the third one, Leitignaif, you shall not steal. Now this, the Gemara says, is not referring directly to Genevas Momen, where you steal someone's possession. This is referring to Genevas Odom, where you steal him. It's referring to that you are not allowed to abduct a person. If you abduct a person and you hold him forcefully against his will, this is Leitignaif, you shall not steal. Now this also now is coming to rise up against man. This is taking him away from his domicile against his will and bringing him to another place and holding him by force. So this also is rising up against man. You're taking his freedom away from him. Freedom is in his place of living, and freedom is part of him. You're taking this away from him. This is a minimization in man. So therefore this follows. Then the fourth command of their tablet is Leisana Bereyacha Eid Shoker. You shall not testify against your fellow man falsely. Now here is a fourth level. Here you're harming man. You can be harming him physically, you can come and give false testimony, and because of your testimony, the Beis Din, the courts, can punish him physically. You can be harming him financially, because he can lose money through your testimony, or he can be penalized through your testimony. And the Torah says, you shall not do it in this way. Here, you're actually not doing an act. It's only with dibur, it's only with speech. So here is the foundation that we are not allowed to harm another man, be it physically or financially or any way, even through speech. You're changing the facts. So you're taking away from him what is right, what he has due. But you're doing it only through speech. So it's a lesser level, but here is the foundation that we're not allowed to do this. And then comes the fifth command on that second tablet, Leisachmeid. There the Torah says, Leisachmeid beis reacho, you shall not covet the house of your friend. Leisachmeid eishes reacho, the wife of your friend. Abdi v'amosa v'sheir v'chamayr v'chol shel reacho, his servant, his maidservant, his ox, his donkey, anything that he has. What is the command of Leisachmeid? You shall not covet. The Gemara says as follows. Sachmeid means chemde, chemde salev, desire. A desire that a man has in his heart. You shall not desire what is not yours. But the Gemara says, this is only speaking, where because of your desire, you manipulate to take it away from him. Even if you pay him for it. If because of my desire for something that he has, this goes so far that I manipulate to take it away from him, in a way that he does not willfully give it up, even if I'll pay him for it, then I transgress this mitzvah. If the man wants to give it up, he puts it up for sale or something, that's a different thing. See? But here, because of the desire I have, I conspired to take it away from him, even if I'll pay for it. But to take it away from him, that's this transgression. So you are harming him, but only the source of this mitzvah is only machshava, thought. It's in the heart. It begins with chemdas halev leisachmaid, the passion and desire of the heart. Here we have a foundation for a new level. First one is where you physically you destroy him. Second mitzvah was where you destroy man and his wife. You take his wife from him. The third mitzvah is where you don't physically destroy him, you destroy his freedom. You abduct him. The fourth mitzvah is where you harm him, but not through a physical act, only orally. You testified falsely and you harmed him. And the fifth mitzvah is where you harm him and the source was not even speech, but was chemdes halev, passion and desire. So these are the second of the Ten Commandments. So we have the first tablet and the second tablet. The first tablet deals with conduct that we are obligated to the Almighty. We must believe that he was the first existence, Anechi Hashem Elokecha, and nothing else existed with him. And if we don't, then we are destroying his essence. Lo yeh lecha elohim acherim. Even if we believe he's the first existence, but if we say that he has delegated independent powers now to others, this also is a destruction of his essence, because his essence encompasses everything. He has no shutef, he has no partner. Thirdly, Leisisho Hashem Elokecha Lashov, you shall not swear in his name in vain or falsely. Here you are destroying and insulting his name. Fourthly, Zocher Hashem HaShabbos Lekatshei, to keep Shabbos and to distinguish it, you are testifying that not only he always existed, but he created everything that's here. It's a Shemayim v'Esaoris v'Seyom v'Eskol Asher Bom, the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything that's in it. Otherwise, again, you're minimizing and you're taking the world from him. And the fifth is that Kabiris Avicha v'Esimecha, you shall honor your father and mother, because this that you're born to your father and mother, this was his particular creation. Not that he created the world in general, but now the nature goes on its own force, not when it comes to the birth of human beings. But this was a new creation that he made together with your mother and father, and therefore there is a particular bond between you and your mother and father, and therefore you have to give them honor. And here we find a chibur, a joining of the two sections of the Torah, because here you're obligated to honor him and your mother and father. The second tablet now instructs man on how to act towards the handiwork of the Almighty, other individuals that he created also in his image. You shall not kill, because there you totally destroy them. You shall not commit adultery, because there you destroy the unique totality of the person, of man and wife. You shall not abduct a man, because here you remove from him his freedom. You shall not testify, you shall not destroy or harm him in any way, even through speech. And you shall not harm him in any way, even through passion of your heart, where you desire what he has and therefore you manipulate to take it away from him. And when Klal Yisrael heard the Ten Commandments, they heard these ten, because these ten are the Haskolah, the beginning and the Rosh, the cornerstones of the whole Torah. Each command represents the cornerstone of an entire division of the 613 mitzvahs. So that's why they heard this. And as mentioned before, that they were given the wisdom to understand all of the mitzvahs when they heard this. But these they heard explicitly. And there are two sections in the Torah, two major sections. How man should conduct themselves directly towards the Almighty and how man should conduct himself towards other creations. But so the ten represent the foundation of the Torah. But even though there are ten, it's all one. There's only one. There's only one, and it's all one Torah, because it comes from one being. And therefore, they were all kulam nemra elo, as it states, "Va'idaber Hashem Elokim es kol advarim elo leimor." Hashem said all of these things, and then he said the Ten Commandments. But it states, it doesn't say he said them one after the other. He said them all at once. Mashiach shel abosav adam, which is impossible by a human being. He said one statement, and all of the ten came out. Then later on, he repeated it one by one, in this order. And why was that? Because they're one. And they all go back to the first two. First two they heard from the Almighty, and the rest Meshua said. Because the first two refer to the essence of the Almighty, basically. That he was always here, and he shares his powers with no one. And the second one goes to the first one, is an offshoot of the first one. And the first one is dependent on the first word, Anochi. What does Anochi mean? I. And as we mentioned, he didn't use any of his particular names, because names only refer to a particular aspect, so that's a limit in the Almighty. You're referring to one aspect, one type of conduct. He used Anochi because that's without limitations. And Kodesh Baruch Hu, Almighty, has no limitations. People have limitations, but not the Almighty. And for this he needed a letter that could describe this. What could describe this? Not a letter that could describe many things, because many things are many, that's unrelated. A letter that describes only one. If you want to find the source to everything, if you want to find the source to the Atlantic or Pacific or Indian Ocean, you must find only one source. Because if you find many sources, you haven't found the source yet. You haven't found the source of those sources. When you find one source, then you have found that source. The source encompasses all of the brachas that come from it. So when he created the world, which was bracha, expanse, growth, he needed a base, because base is the beginning of the growth of the alphabet, numerical value. But when he came to reveal himself to Klal Yisrael, and the Torah is his himself, that's his will, there he needed a letter just the opposite. A letter that does not speak of multitude, but speaks of the ultimate, ultimate single source of all multitude. So he told the Aleph, I'm saving you, because you're Echad and I'm Echad. This is what one means. One means, and when we always speak about Hashem Echad, because he is the single, single source of all sources. The Rambam calls him the Yesod HaYesodis, the foundation to all of the foundations. And that's always one. There can only be one, otherwise you haven't found it yet. So therefore he revealed himself with the Aleph. So everything is dependent in the Ten Commandments, which were put on two tablets to show they represent the two sections of the Torah. But the Ten Commandments are all dependent in the first two, and the first two are all dependent in the first, and the first is all dependent in Anochi, and that is dependent on the Aleph, which is the beginning of all of the letters, the source. That he is the source to everything. This gives us an insight as to why the Ten Commandments are Aseres HaDibros, which Klal Yisrael received on Sinai, in this week's Parsha, is distinguished from all of the other mitzvahs.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.